Hi, my name's Dan Jones. Now, over the next hour or so, I'm going to teach you everything that you need to know about how to hypnotize anybody. Now, lots of people seem to think that hypnosis is really complicated, or that only certain people can be hypnotized. Well, this isn't technically true. There are some people that can be hypnotized easier than others. There are some people that you can pretty much just walk up to them and tell them to close their eyes and go into a deep hypnotic state, and they'll just do that automatically. And the same happens on the other end of the spectrum, that there are some people that are that little bit more difficult to hypnotize for one reason or another. And it's got nothing at all to do with whether somebody is a skeptic or not. It's all just down to each individual. Very often, the people that are easiest to hypnotize are those people that are able to focus their attention, that are very creative, have very good imagination, and that are willing to put that part of themselves aside that would normally make judgments. So none of that has anything at all to do with that person's personal beliefs. There are many myths surrounding hypnosis. For example, that you can make people do whatever it is you want them to do. And this, again, isn't technically true. On stage shows, you see people do things, and those people might say afterwards, "I can't believe I did this," or "I can't believe I did that." But in reality, if they genuinely didn't want to carry out the suggestion, and they genuinely felt uncomfortable with the idea of carrying out the suggestion, they wouldn't have done so. So over the next hour, you're going to learn exactly what it is you need to know so that you can instantly begin practicing on people around you, and you can instantly begin to do hypnosis. And how I'm going to teach this to you in the space of 1 hour is to teach it exactly how I do hypnosis. So I'm not going to teach you lots of different techniques necessarily, or lots of different language patterns. I'm just going to teach you exactly what I do that allows me to do hypnosis successfully. Now, the first thing to get across is that actually hypnotists that fail normally fail because they believe that they failed. So, for example, if I work with someone and I want them to hallucinate a dragon entering the room, and they then don't hallucinate a dragon, I may see that as failure. When in actual fact, very few people are likely to have responded to a suggestion like that by actually genuinely seeing a dragon, because it's such an unrealistic thing for the average person to see. If they're in that minority group of highly hypnotizable people, then they may see a dragon. But that really is just a minority. So the first thing to get across is really make things easy for yourself. Don't go setting out to fail. For example, it's easier to have someone hallucinate your pet dog entering the room than it is to have someone hallucinate a dragon. And one thing you can do is you can begin to build up to bigger and bigger things. The other thing is, if you are too specific about what you want, You may fail purely because you're trying to be so specific. Again, if you say, on the count of three, I want you to open your eyes and I want you to see a dragon in front of you. And then you count one, two, three, open your eyes. And they open their eyes and they don't see a dragon. They're going to think, well, this hypnotist has clearly failed. This hypnotist clearly has no idea what they're doing. Because that didn't work. The hypnotist also will probably be thinking, oh, they've just told me they haven't seen a dragon, so that hasn't worked. So what you want to do, especially when you're starting out and you're beginning just to get used to the idea of hypnosis, is to make sure that everything you do is fail-safe. And I'll explain a bit more about that in a minute. Another important point at this stage is to make sure you know where you're going with what you're doing. There are lots of books out there, lots of DVDs out there, lots of videos online, and lots of audio sets, all about how to do different hypnotic inductions. And you'll get sets that say, learn these 100 hypnotic inductions. And you'll go away and you'll practice these 100 different hypnotic inductions, and you'll try different inductions on different people, and then you'll think, well, which induction do I use with which person? And so you might start getting confused, trying to figure out what to do with who. But then you end up hypnotizing people, and your next dilemma is, well, now what do I do? I've just hypnotized this person. How do I prove that this person's hypnotized? Or what do I do now that this person is hypnotized? So the next important point is to make sure that you keep in mind what it is you want to get out of this hypnotic session. So I'll guide you through how I do hypnosis with people, because I think that how I do it is so incredibly simple and so fail-safe. I hypnotize people that claim they can't be hypnotized. I hypnotize people that are really tough subjects that other hypnotists say they don't think can be hypnotized. And obviously I hypnotize people that are very easy to hypnotize as well. And I do it because of the way that I do it. It's not that there's anything special about me or special about the hypnosis that I do. Hypnosis isn't something that only a few people can learn. Hypnosis is something that absolutely anybody can learn. And you can also learn to do hypnosis with yourself. Although it's very handy when practicing to practice with a friend and have a friend practice with you so that you can practice guiding each other into a hypnotic state, just to allow you to begin to feel what it's like to be hypnotized. So what I would do is I would meet the client or whoever it is that's going to be hypnotized. And I'd make some general light conversation. It could be about the weather. It could be asking them how they've got to me. Perhaps they've driven a long distance or something. So I might ask them about their journey. Ask them about anything at all, just light, ordinary conversation. Just things that are nothing to do with any problem or anything of that kind. Just things that allow you to begin to build a level of rapport. That's a level of mutual trust and understanding between the two of you. And it gives you a chance to begin to observe the most important principles in hypnosis. And if you can understand these principles, you'll be able to hypnotize absolutely anybody at all. Are the principles of observation and utilization. If you can observe very well, that's observing visually, auditory, observing with your feelings and any other senses. If you can observe with your senses, and then you can use what you observe. And the observations do include things like whether they're a male or a female, what age they are, what type of career they have, what their interests are, what kind of family background they've got, what kind of community they've grown up in. All of these are observations, and all of these are things you can use to do hypnosis with. So during this general chat, that's what you're doing. You're observing, you're trying to find out something about how this person responds, what it is that's important to them, what makes them smile, what makes them respond in different ways. And at the same time, it's useful to begin to notice their breathing patterns, to begin to match their breathing, so that you're breathing the same as they are, to begin to sit similar to them, to begin to do similar kinds of gestures. And it's got to be all appropriate. So for example, if someone lifts their hand up and scratches the back of their head, you don't lift your hand up and scratch the back of your head exactly the same time as them. Perhaps 3 seconds later, when you're now the one talking, you lift your hand up and scratch the back of your head. Or perhaps it's 3 seconds later when they're about to talk. So it's when there's some kind of transition and it's just slightly later. Likewise, if they mark out what's important to them by doing almost like a karate chopping motion with their hand in the air, you don't copy that with everything you say just because you saw them do it. You use that karate chopping motion in the air when you're talking about something that's important to you. So what you're doing is saying non-verbally to the person that you're going to hypnotize, we're very similar. We both do things in a similar kind of way. You're not necessarily saying we're identical. You're just saying we're very similar. So when I mark things out that I think are important, I do it the same way as you. I breathe the same way as you. I get itches at about the same sort of time as you. You're just trying to make yourself fairly similar to that client or to that person you're about to hypnotize. So once you've done that for a bit, you'll also begin to then drop in things that make the person go into their own mind. Now, we all have these kind of experiences. Like if someone says, so what'd you get up to last weekend? Now, if someone then says nothing, they're not likely to go into their mind much. They don't have much need to go into their mind to get an answer, nothing. But imagine if they happen to have gone camping or something. All of a sudden, they've got something in their mind that they can grab hold of. So they'll go inside their mind and they'll say, well, last weekend I actually went camping in the Lake District. So you then say, so what was that like? And you start questioning them about it. So what you're doing is beginning to set up the hypnosis. With hypnosis, what you want is to begin to direct people's attention inwardly. You want to begin to have them quieten down outside. So you want them to stop moving so much externally. And you want them to really focus inside. So this is a wonderful way of beginning to prime that, beginning to give that idea of going inside and beginning to, from your perspective, beginning to notice different traits, different signs of when this specific person goes into a trance. Because when they answer you, sticking with the same example of the camping in the Lake District, when they say, well, it was cold, it was raining, but it was so much fun, to answer you, they will have entered that memory again. That means they have gone into a very light hypnotic trance. They wouldn't see it as a hypnotic trance. They would just see it as they're answering a question about memory. They're not going into hypnosis. You haven't asked them to go into hypnosis. Most people wouldn't realize you're doing hypnosis, but you are. In fact, sometimes the only hypnotic induction I ever do is talking to people about their interests, because people are very passionate about their interests and they're very good at giving you lots of detail and getting absorbed in that subject. So what you're doing is directing someone's attention inwardly. And as you do that, you're observing, so what are they doing when they go into a trance? Do they gaze off into space? Do they close their eyes every time they go inside their mind to get some information? Do they look down every time they go inside to get some information? Does their body become totally still every time they go inside to get some information? What is it that they do? Because there's lots of trance signs, but not everyone does all of them at the same time. So what you want is to begin to know, what does this person in front of me do? So after you've done that for a little bit, talking about something they're interested in, if, as I say, someone could say, I didn't do anything at the weekend, you may then just ask them, so what sort of things do you do for fun? Or what do you do that just helps you to relax? Or what do you do that you just find you become totally absorbed in? So all these questions are saying, what do you do that naturally hypnotizes you? Because hypnosis, there is absolutely nothing magical or mysterious about it. Hypnosis is a common phenomena. Hypnosis happens to every single living human being multiple times every single day. It's just that most people don't realize that that's happening. They don't understand enough about hypnosis to know that that's what's happening. So what you want to do is ask questions about times when people naturally focus their attention and go inside their mind. Or focus their attention on a task. So for example, someone that plays tennis will go into a hypnotic trance to play tennis. They'll play tennis automatically. They won't, every time the ball comes over their net, they won't think, right, I've got to take 3 steps to the left, then I've got to stretch my arm out, I've got to move my muscles back, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and then I've got to whack that ball. And they don't think about it like that. They just respond to the ball coming over the net. So they're in a trance to do that, but it's an externally focused trance. Because you can get externally focused trance and internally focused. And either one is suitable for using as a hypnotic induction if you get someone to recall it. So once you've had them recall that for a little bit, and perhaps you've asked for the more detail you can get them to give you, the more in a trance they have to go to access that detail. So if someone says is talking about camping, they can easily say, I went with 3 friends and myself and we put a tent up and it was raining. But if you then say, so what did the hills look like in the rain? Was there a colour difference when you looked at the hills nearer compared to the ones further away? Could you notice when the rain was coming over the hills and getting closer to you? What was the sky like? What were the clouds like? Were there clouds? If it was raining, I assume there were. So what was that like? And what did it feel like to be walking on the wet ground? What were the sounds you could hear when you're in the tent? So the easiest way I find to do it is to put myself into that state as well. And if you put yourself into a trance, so you're focusing on the client, and you're already breathing the same as them, and you're already matching the way they're sitting and the way they're using their gestures. You're already doing all of this. So what you do then is you begin to put yourself into a trance, thinking about their experience, as if you're in their experience with them. And that really helps you to then be able to ask them questions relating to what you would find in that type of experience. And what you want to do is make sure that you don't ask questions or say things that may not be true. So you don't want to say, if they're talking about being in the Lake District, you don't want to jump to the conclusion, if they haven't told you yet that it rained, of saying, so look up at that beautiful blue sky. What's it like? Because they may turn around and then say, well, it was actually raining. It wasn't a blue sky. In the same way that if someone's talking about being down a beach, you don't want to then say, and you can hear that water lapping softly on the shore, because they may suddenly think, well, actually, I like rough beaches, and so the water's actually slamming on the shore. So what you want to do is to almost have an air of curiosity. So everything you say is all about curiosity. It's, so I wonder what that water's like. Or I wonder what the sky's like. Is there clouds? Is it clear? What's it like? So you're making them give you the answer. You're not telling them what their experience is. So once you've built some rapport and you've begun to prime for trance, prime for a hypnotic trance state, by having people lightly go into a hypnotic trance. Some people may already have gone quite deeply into a trance when you do this really well, and you'll notice how stationary they become when they're doing that. Then you want to ask, what would you like to get from today? What would you like to get from being here with me? Or any questions similar to that, because what you need to do now is know, what does this person want from hypnosis? What are we going to do over the next hour or whatever it is that you're doing the hypnosis for? So if they're there, perhaps, say you're a therapist who's just integrating some hypnosis into your therapy work, then what you might do is identify what it is therapeutically they want to work on. So it could be that they'd like to stop feeling depressed. It could be they'd like to stop having panic attacks, or they'd like to stop smoking, or they'd like to stop feeling anxious. And that's normally how people describe it to you. They tell you what they don't want. So you then say, well, how would you know? How will you know when what you don't want has happened? How would you know when that's happened? So how will you know when you're no longer depressed? Well, I'll be getting up, I'll be going out, I'll be socialising. And what difference will that make? So again, you're using that same little technique that we just talked about, where you're hypnotising them by making them go inside their mind. But you're still not talking about hypnosis at this point. You're perhaps 20 minutes into the session that you've had with this person, or into the time period that you've spent with this person. But you're still not talking about hypnosis. You still haven't said, this is hypnosis, or I'm doing hypnosis. So you're now saying, so how will you know when you're, let's take the depression, how will you know when you're not depressed? Well, I'll be going out, I'll be socialising a bit more, I'll be mixing with people more, so I suppose I'll probably end up maybe going back into work and being able to fit in better in work. I'll probably get out and go for walks a bit more. Might be a bit fitter, a bit more full of energy. So then, again, you want to do the deepening thing. So when you're going into work, what will that be like? Who else will notice that you're back in work? What kinds of things will they notice? So your aim as a hypnotist is to ask questions. There's this odd view of hypnosis where the hypnotist tells someone to shut their eyes, and then the hypnotist just does the hypnosis, and the subject never talks, unless they're doing talking about something in a trance, and then they're brought out of hypnosis. Whereas with this, they go deeper into a trance because you keep asking questions, and the questions you keep asking, asking for more detail, asking them to go deeper into their experience. So initially the questions were relating to asking about experiences they've already had and deepening a hypnotic state because of that. Now your questions are asking about what it is they want and getting them to really give you a full picture of what it is they want using all of their senses. So I've talked briefly about depression being something they could say. If you're doing this for another reason, it could be, I'll just mention smoking briefly, it could be smoking. Then again, so when you're a non-smoker, how will things be different? What will be different for you? well, I'll be fitter and healthier. Okay, and how will you know you're fitter and healthier? I'll be able to run up a flight of stairs without getting out of breath. Okay, and what will that be like? Just imagine yourself running up a flight of stairs. What's that going to be like? And again, you're just asking questions and following each thing they say up with more questions about this future imagined experience. So that's relating to specific problems. If you were learning hypnosis to do it for, say, relaxation, or to do it because you just want to explore consciousness or explore the mind, again, you can ask questions about this. So if, for example, your sole thing in hypnosis is, I just want to hypnotize people and have them hallucinating, then obviously those people need to be agreeing that they don't mind hallucinating. So you might say to them, so what do you think it would be like to be hallucinating? And talk about whatever it happens to be that you think they're going to hallucinate or you're going to want them to hallucinate. So what do you think it would be like? And you know, you've always hallucinated. So another thing is, every hypnotic phenomena, before you do the hypnotic work, plan in your mind some key facts. So for example, if you want people to hallucinate, every living person has hallucinated in their life, in their everyday life. People have heard their voice when no one has said their voice. People have lost keys and then found them right in front of their nose. People have needed the toilet when they've gone into cinemas, got so engrossed in the film that they forget about needing the toilet, and then 2 hours later they suddenly need the toilet again. People have done catalepsy. People have, again, been in cinemas where they've been drinking a drink or eating popcorn, and then something really dramatic happens on the screen. Maybe it's a horror film or something, and really grabs your attention. And they suddenly stop halfway through what it is they're watching, and the popcorn is in their hand, just inches from their mouth. And their hand stays there in place, just inches from their mouth, whilst they're so engrossed in whatever's going on the screen. And then once that comes to a conclusion on screen, they put the popcorn in their mouth, and they completely don't realise that the hand was just levitating for, say, 5 minutes between the tub of popcorn and their mouth. So everything that you can do in hypnosis has a counterpart in real life. People have heard things or seen things like faces in toast, where they suddenly hallucinate something, or you're in somewhere that's supposed to be haunted and you suddenly hallucinate thinking you saw something when actually you didn't. You just hallucinated it because of the environment and because of expectation. Or people have cut themselves, perhaps while cooking, and not felt the cut happen. But then once they see the blood, they suddenly feel the pain. So they manage to do pain control, they manage to hallucinate out that pain as well. So everything that you can do in hypnosis, look for when it happens in everyday life. Again, if you can prime something, it makes it more powerful and more effective. So by doing it that way round, you can then prime for these things. You can talk about, for example, if you wanted someone to hallucinate, you can talk about perhaps your own experiences of not being able to find some keys and then suddenly discovering they're right in front of your face. If you want someone to hallucinate something out of their experience, if you want someone to hallucinate something different into their experience, even though the two things technically go together, because if you hallucinate keys, for example, on a table out of your experience, what you've done is hallucinated a bit of table to where the keys are, so that you don't see the keys. So both technically go together. But if you're doing it the other way, maybe it's talking about how you thought you heard someone call your name and then realised there was no one there. Or how you'd been watching a horror film and you're home alone and you opened a curtain and it was in a dark room. You opened a curtain, suddenly saw your reflection, but didn't see it as your reflection. You saw it as, say, you know, the evil character that was on that horror film or something like that. People have all these kind of experiences, and you'll have your own unique experiences that you've had. And so all of this is helping to do the hypnosis. And you do all of that before you even technically talked about hypnosis. So once you've identified, what are you going to do? What does this person want from the hypnosis? Or what do you want? Say, I practice with people doing hypnosis. And people will say, oh yeah, I'll come around, I'll practice. And then we'll agree between us, you know, what should we do? Well, how about, let's have a go at past life regression, or let's have a go at future progression, or let's have a go at arm levitation, or let's have a go at making my hand numb and doing pain control, or let's have a go at being able to hallucinate, or let's have a go at this or that. Or so we will agree between ourselves what it is. So there's no problem being worked on. It's just an agreement of what we would like to achieve or work or do over that session.